Welcome back to EAA Radio Push to Talk with Magneto Mel here on the tail end of our ATC hour. I'm going to give out that number once again if you guys would like to call in and talk to these folks here in the studio. It's 920-230-7984, and we can go ahead and let you pose your questions to them. In the meantime, I was curious, you were talking about getting the front lines of the ATC involved in the modernization project with the FAA. Do we have anybody representing some of the frontline opinions of the pilots and how that's translating to their experience?
Well, sure. I can't speak for the pilot organizations, but we're sitting right here in the EAA headquarters, and EAA, of course, I think is doing their bit to represent the pilot community as well as AOPA, and on the business end of it is the National Business Aviation Association, and then there's the Helicopter Association International and those types of folks. So the alphabet user groups are representing the pilot aspect of it, and they're doing a very good job. I mean, they're getting their voice heard for the membership in the right places. So my concern is that we get the controllers' voices heard as well. And that's what NATCA is aiming to do.
And there are also, obviously, we've talked about some of the proficiency and performance that we expect the modernization and the upgrades to affect. What sort of safety gains are we looking to...
That's a big one. We are very, very safe. I mean, we are one of the safest navigation air service providers in the world, and we want to maintain that. We certainly don't want to slip in the safety realm. So what we need to do when we move forward with reducing separation and increasing capacity in the air and on the ground on the runways is make sure that we maintain the current safety initiatives that we have in place and make sure that the safety studies are done to make sure that we can do this, increase capacity and all these other initiatives and do it safely. And that should be the priority for everybody that's involved in this. And I know, speaking for the air traffic controllers as a safety representative, that is certainly our organization's top priority is safety and the safety of the flying public, because we do hold that in a very high regard.
And you had said you don't want to, so basically you don't want to lose, you don't want to break something by fixing something else.
Correct.
And how do you monitor that?
Oh, the numbers. The numbers will eventually show it over time. There are all kinds of safety analysis and safety studies that are supposedly done before any initiatives do take place. We are adopting the safety management system concept by doing a safety analysis and have it all written out, have it documented, a documented plan, a documented approach to implementing a new procedure or new concept or new technology. And that holds people accountable. And when you hold people accountable, you hopefully will get the right results. And we are engaged in that concept.
Okay, we have a caller that's got a question for you guys. I guess we're not able to quite patch them through, but I'll go ahead and read their question on the air here. Steve from California is calling in, and he wants to know what the projection of future funding is for Next Gen.
Speaking on the behalf of the United States, the FAA is funded by Congress. So they have a budget, they propose a budget, and there's many items on that budget. One of them is National Airspace Modernization. So they put that budget request into Congress, and the taxpayers ultimately will have to pay for that. So Congress does approve the budget, and aviation usually does get a significant portion of the budget. They usually get adequate money to operate. It's where the FAA prioritizes it that might be a little bit in question. But as far as modernization, they are pushing this as one of the top priorities. Administrator Babbitt has said that one of his top priorities is the airspace modernization project. So that will get hopefully a significant portion of the funding and hopefully an adequate amount. And I believe that it will be funded appropriately.
And that's a great question. And actually, I would like to pose that question again. We've talked about all the different airspaces and all the different oversight organizations that govern them. So when you do modernization in Europe and you talk about those facilities, what's the overarching funding for something like that? How's that structured there?
Well, we have the famous user fees that's always been spoken about. Funding was done years ago when Eurocontrol, which is basically an actual air traffic control unit, but also the overriding agency which oversees funding and route structures in Europe, we have a very simple system. It's pretty much like using a toll road. You use the airway, you get charged. You pay according to how heavy the airplane is, and how many route miles you fly, there's a certain key that mathematical key that's designed. And once you file your flight plan, you pretty much get charged for the route that you fly. There's also approach and landing fees at the airports. And so the system funds itself. So we are in the, I'm going to say, fortunate position of not being dependent on government funding, and we don't get funded by the political will of the day. So there's no, we have a certain consistency. We don't have to depend on any political parties or any political agendas, insofar as there can be politics involved in the funding. As politics can be involved indirectly, but our politics or our politicians cannot decide who gets to do what and how we run our company. The funding is independent of that, and the funding has a certain consistency. The flip side of the coin, of course, is because it's a route structure, the funding depends on flying. And when flying goes up, we make lots of money. We're not allowed to make a profit or a loss. So what we do is when we have a profit year, we basically send big checks back to the airlines in the following year, and then we lower the fees. On the other hand, when we have a bad year, the way we're having now, we have to raise the fees. And that, of course, is a bad thing for the airlines, because then in lean times when they're already hurting, they have to pay more. So ideally, you would want a situation where either the ATC company, the one we have, or Eurocontrol can actually say, well, in the good years, we'll make a fund, a kind of a slush fund that'll carry us over the bad years,
right,
or get the airlines to understand that they need to save money for these situations. But of course, we've yet to find an airline that has enough common sense to say in the good years, well, let's put away money for the bad years so we don't have to dig into resources when things are tough, that we still have to pay more air traffic control fees. But certainly we are more independent, and we have we're not politically motivated, or we don't have to keep an eye on the politics as much as you guys have to do here.
Not as accountable to the...
Correct.
To the,
yeah. We are accountable, but the government doesn't interfere directly. The government basically has an oversight function, but they don't really interfere in the day-to-day operations.
It would be hard to do with so many different governing bodies.
You know, it actually works quite well, really. As long as everybody gets the feeling that they're getting their part of the action, and that the funds are being distributed fairly, and that seems to be the case at the moment. There are certainly, there are often cases where routes get laid where the money is what we say. But for the greater part, I think everybody's getting their fair share. And what you would ideally want long-term is for Eurocontrol to say, okay, we're going to make a structure that works for all of us. Everybody says what they want. We're going to divvy up the money between all of you equally. And again, if functional airspace blocks come into being, then you're going to get away from this whole country thing. And then functional airspace blocks, you can say, well, if block A works 60% of the traffic, they'll get 60% of the money, regardless of who runs it. And then whether it gets run from France, from Germany, from Belgium, from wherever, it's the functional block that will get the money to improve that functional block of airspace. That's the ideal situation. So whether that's going to kick in or not, I don't know. I'm thinking that'll probably be the long-term project. And the prognosis is looking good. We have a structure in place, and if we get these things sorted out, primarily, as I said earlier on, that we can save some money for the lean years, then I think there's a real chance that improvements can be done fairly short notice, and that the improvements that get done are actually, they serve a purpose. They don't serve a political agenda, because what we really want is what Darren said. We want safety. We've also got to cope with the increasing capacity. And so we want to keep it safe. We want to improve the capacity. And we don't really want to do politics. We just need to keep the politics out of it.
And we're coming to the end of our time here. So thank you very much for that. And would like to maybe throw out there if there's anything else you want to leave people with in terms of the topic of modernization and safety and performance.
Okay, short. I think pilots, there's a misconception that pilots and air traffic controllers are resistant to change and modernization. I think it's incorrect. We are not resistant to change or to modernization. We don't like it because it takes us out of the comfort zone, but it also takes us out of the safety zone. I think we need to find a balance between staying in the comfort zone but accepting modern and or modernization and change. I'm just going to say one word: GPS. I know a lot of people were against it, and nowadays in Europe, just about everybody has one. So let's accept that there will be change and there needs to be change, but let's keep our eye on the ball in terms of safety and not just have change for the sake of having change.
We want change. We need change. We need to upgrade the system here in the United States, and we do embrace that as long as it's done correctly, as long as we get adequate training, and as long as they include us, because we're the ones, we're the frontline operator, we're the ones that are going to need to integrate this and provide the service. So we want it. We're desperately overdue for it, and bring it on, because it's something that will make us better, safer aviators.
And for folks, this is our last ATC hour here this year on AirVenture. So for folks that are on the field, where can they come and find you if they have a question that they just didn't have formulated or didn't get that number?
Lutz is our honorary dignitary from abroad, hanging out with us at the National Air Traffic Control Association booth, which is about 100 yards east of the tower, the control tower at Oshkosh. And you can find us there all day today and all day tomorrow to answer your questions. We'd love to have you come by.
And for folks that aren't on the field or beyond this week, if people want to, you know, call up and talk to NATCA representatives or pose a question, you guys have a presence in the web?
www.natca.org. We'll get you the website and everything you need. All questions, if they're not answered there, we'll give you phone numbers to the correct departments to contact us.
And as we've talked about on the show previously this week, you guys encourage people to come check out the centers, come check out the TRACONs, come check out towers, and have the discussions in person, see what goes on.
Absolutely. I highly encourage everybody to get to know their local air traffic service provider, whether it's an approach control, a center, or a tower that's nearby. Set up a facility visit. Come on in there. Meet the controllers. Let them meet you. And keep in mind that most controllers are not pilots, at least in this country. And when you do hang out with them, please, before you leave, offer to take them for a ride in your airplane. Let them see the other side of the microphone. It'll be a good exchange program.
Not to mention a ride in the airplane is always a fun thing to do. So.
It is.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. You've been listening to Darren Gaines. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
And Lutz Pritchoff.
Thanks a lot. Thanks. It was a pleasure being here.
And this has been the last of our ATC hour here on Push to Talk with Magneto Mel, EAA Radio,